Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson, we're going to build a convincing 90s sampler tone from absolute scratch using only stock devices and stock packs. And we're doing it in a way that actually feels like the era. Not throw a bit crusher on the break and call it vintage, but a real workflow. The big idea is simple. Degrade, resample, and then retrigger. Commit the audio. Print it. And only then start arranging and pitching like you would on hardware. By the end, you'll have two reusable tools, a 90s break sampler rack, a 90s bass resample chain, and a short 16 to 32 bar rolling jungle or DNB loop that sounds obviously sampled but still hits clean. Let's set the stage first. Set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 174. I'm going to sit at 172 BPM, because it's a sweet spot for rolling patterns without getting too frantic. Now, headroom. This matters more than people think. When you're trying to emulate older gear, keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB while you build. If you start slamming levels early, your sampler crunch turns into modern clipping, and it's not the same vibe. Also, drop a reference track in. Mute it most of the time. You're not copying the arrangement, you're checking two things: how rolled off the top end feels, and how the transients sit. A lot of the old sampler illusion is just the right amount of dullness plus the right kind of punch. Now the workflow. Create an audio track and name it Resample Print. Set its input to resampling. Leave it armed only when you want to print. This track is your virtual sampler. Anytime we hit a moment where we have sampled into the machine, we record into this track and commit. And a quick coaching note before we touch devices. A slash B like a sampler, not like a plug-in chain. That means level match. Loud always wins. So when you print, throw a utility on the printed track if you need to, and match the level by ear when you compare. If it only sounds better because it's louder, you're about to overdo the crunch. Alright, tool number 1, the 90s break sampler rack. Create a MIDI track, drop simpler on it, and drag in a break. Amen, think, anything in that family. Stock loops are fine. Your own is fine. In simpler, go to slice mode. Slice by transient. Set playback to trigger. Trigger is important here because it gives you that old school hit behavior. It doesn't feel like a long audio clip. It feels like slices beating fired. Adjust sensitivity until you're getting clean kick and snare slices. You want it to find the main transients without turning every little hi-hat take into its own slice unless you specifically want that, which can actually be cool for hyper edits, but for now keep it sensible. Now after simpler, add an audio effect rack. And we're going to build the chain in a specific order, because the order is part of the sound. First, EQ8. This is pre-shaping. Second, saturator. This is your converterish stage. Gentle soft clipping. Third, redux. This is the sample rate and bit depth moment. Fourth, auto filter. This is bandwidth limitation, like anti-alias filtering. Fifth, drum bus. This is body and controlled smack after degradation. Sixth, utility. This is mono discipline and gain staging. Let's dial it in. EQ8 first. Put a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, around 25 to 35 Hz. That's just cleaning sub rumble, that will get ugly once you start saturating and reducing sample rate. If the break is boxy, do a gentle dip around 300 to 500 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. Don't carve it to death. You're just preventing the cardboard buildup. And here's a move that feels counterintuitive until you hear it. If the break is already kind of dull, you can add a tiny 1 to 2 dB lift around 2 to 3 kHz before you crush it. Because after redux and low passing, that area often becomes your snare presence zone. Think of it like pre-emphasis before printing. Next, saturator. Choose soft sine or analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. And then do the boring but crucial part. Output compensation. Match the level to bypass. The stage is not supposed to scream. The goal is a slight flattening of peaks, like converters being pushed a bit. Now redux. This is where the sampler rate personality shows up. Set bit reduction somewhere around 10 to 14. Start at 12 for that 12-bit-ish vibe. Then sample rate, around 11 to 18 kHz. Start at 14 kHz. And don't automatically go 100% wet. Blend it, dry slash wet between 40 and 70% depending on how aggressive you want it. Teacher note, if your transients turn into sand, that's not vintage, that's just overcrushed. The most common mistake is dropping sample rate too far and forgetting to blend. Pull it back. Blend more dry, and let the filter do some of the work. Next, auto filter. Low pass filter, and try 12 dB slope first. A gentler slope often feels more open jungle compared to a steep modern low pass. Set cutoff around 8 to 12 kHz. start at 9.5. Add a tiny bit of resonance, like 0.5 to 1.5, and here's a subtle trick. The placement of this cutoff matters as much as redux. That little resonant bump near the cutoff can create the illusion of old anti-alias filtering, where the edge gathers right before the roll-off. If it whistles, don't just kill the resonance. Move the cutoff a bit until it becomes a presence lift instead of a tone. Next, drum bus. Keep it tasteful. Drive around 2 to 5. Crunch anywhere from 0 to 20%, but start low. Boom can be 0 to 15% if you need weight, tuned around 50 to 60 Hz, but don't force it if your kick already has enough. Then transient control. After redux, sometimes the break gets too ticky, like the hats become needles. You can pull transients down a bit, or push them a touch if the snare lost impact. The important philosophy here is this: leave transient shaping until after you've degraded. If you compress or shape transients before redux, you exaggerate aliasing in a brittle way. Finally, utility. Turn bass mono on. Keep width conservative, maybe 80 to 110%. A lot of 90s breaks feel centered and punchy, not super wide. Set gain so the channel peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dB. We want headroom for printing and layering. Now program a simple 1 to 2 bar pattern. Map the slices across MIDI and do classic DNB writing. Kick on 1, snares on 2 and 4, and then ghost notes from little snare or hat slices. Don't over-quantize the life out of it. If it feels too perfect, we'll fix that later. Now, print it. Arm resample print and record 8 bars. Then drag that recorded audio into a new track, or load it into a fresh sampler, and disable that original processing rack. That's a key mindset shift. Once it's printed, you stop tweaking the chain. That's literally the reason old records sound decisive. They committed. Now we add one of the biggest jungle tells. Old school pitch behavior. Take your printed break audio clip, turn warp on, and set warp mode to repitch. Now when you transpose, time changes with pitch and the tone shifts in a very sampler way. Try pitching down 2 or 3 semitones. Instant darker roll, instant heavier vibe. Or pitch up 1 semitone for that manic, bright old school energy. The move here is to treat pitch like an arrangement tool, not a special effect. Alternative. You can drop the printed break into simpler and classic mode, and keep warp off for pure pitch. Then use transpose and a tiny bit of detune if you want instability. And another tiny detail that matters more than it should. Envelopes. When you put printed breaks into simpler, set attack or fade into 1 to 5 milliseconds. It removes clicks without softening the snare. Then use a short release, somewhere around 20 to 80 milliseconds on slices, so tails don't smear into the next hit. That tight tails thing is a huge old sampler tell. Alright. Tool number 2. The 90s bass resample chain. We'll start with a bass source. Stock only. Use Waveatable for a res, or operator for a clean sub plus a mid oscillator. Let's do a classic Waveatable res bass. Osc 1. Saw. Osc 2. Saw. Detune it a touch, or use a hint of unison. Keep it controlled. Put a low pass filter on, and add a little filter drive if it helps. Now the processing chain. On the bass channel, put EQ 8, then roar, then saturator, then auto filter, then compressor, then utility. EQ 8, high pass around 20 to 30 Hz to clean infra. If it's muddy, dip 2 dB around 150 to 250. If it's honky, a small dip around 400 to 700. Now roar. This is where you can get that hardware-ish mid growl, but you need discipline. Think preamp, not destroy the bass. Keep it darker. Use the tone or filter section to lean toward low pass or a focused band. Mix between 20 and 60% depending on whether this bass is your main mid layer or just supporting. Then saturator. Soft clip on. Drive 1 to 5 dB, and again, output match. Auto filter next. Low pass. 12 dB slope. Cutoff between 5 and 9 kHz. Yes, that's low. 90s bass rarely needs air. Tiny resonance if it helps focus. Then compressor. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds to let some bite through. Release 80 to 200 milliseconds so it breathes with the groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Utility. Bass mono on. If it's sub-heavy, keep width very low, like 0 to 50%. Now print the bass. Record 4 to 8 bars into resample print. Then drag the printed bass into simpler in classic mode, warp off, and now play it like a sampled synth note. This is one of the most convincing tricks in the whole lesson. You resample a moving sound, then you freeze it into an instrument. That's the sampled from a rack vibe. The motion is baked in, and when you transpose it, it becomes imperfect in exactly the right way. Optional: move inside simpler, use the filter to sculpt further, and add a subtle pitch envelope if you want a plucky sample stab. Small amounts. If it sounds like a laser, you overdid it. Now let's talk about taking this further with advanced variations. First, the two sampler workflow. This is how you get that paradoxical quality old breaks have, rounded but spitty. Make a capture rack and a playback rack. Capture rack is mild saturation, gentle low pass, maybe a tiny noise layer. Print that. Then playback rack is lighter redux, transient shaping, and final filtering discipline. Retrigger and print again. Two modest prints beats one giant overprocess chain almost every time. Next, multiband resampling for breaks. This is how you get crunchy hats and snare edge without destroying the kick. Duplicate your printed break to two audio tracks. On the low track, low pass around 180 to 300 HZ. Keep it cleaner, mono it. On the high track, high pass around 180 to 300 HZ and hit it harder with redux and saturation. Blend. Now you've got dirty top, clean bottom, which is basically the cheat code for aggressive but weighty drums. Next, hot trigger versus soft trigger, which is a more musical trick than adding more plugins. In slice mode, program ghost notes with higher velocity but shorter decay, so they snap without tail. Program main hits with lower velocity but longer decay, so they have body. You're shaping behavior, not just tone. Next, timing grit. Old records feel human, but not sloppy. Manually nudge some ghost snares late by 5 to 12 milliseconds. Pull a few kicks early by 3 to 8. Then resample that performance. Printed timing feels period correct because it's committed. If it stays as endlessly editable MIDI, you'll keep fixing it until it sounds modern. Now let's arrange a quick 32-bar sketch idea, so you can actually use the tone. Bars 1 to 8. Intro, filtered break, pull down the auto filter cutoff, and bring in a tiny noise bed if you want, but keep it barely audible. It should disappear when the drums hit, not sit on top like a TikTok vinyl preset. Bars 9 to 16, drop a full break and bass. Add a second hat or shaker loop quietly for momentum. Bars 17 to 24, variation, pitch the break up one semitone for two bars, then slam it back. This audio version is shortened for playback.